Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, crew, welcome back to the Cryptoconomy Podcast. I have got one today from Hugo Nguyen, and that's I've heard it pronounced a ton of different ways. Nguyen, I had a friend, but I know that's not actually how you said their last name. That was just how all the English people pronounced her last name. So I'm not going to say Nguyen. I'm going to say Nguyen. Hopefully that's right. I apologize, Hugo, if I've got that name wrong. He wrote a two-part, which was on proof of work and randomness in the Bitcoin system. And this one is titled The Anatomy of Proof of Work. It's a short one, but it's really good. And I really enjoyed his part two. There's a number of different articles I've been sitting on about randomness and pseudo-randomness that I think is really, a really interesting topic, particularly as a computer science problem that is really fun to talk about. And I don't even think I've talked about that at all on the podcast. So this will be the first time that I've hit that topic with Hugo Nguyen, and we will hit his article today, part one of the series titled The Anatomy of Proof of Work. Proof of work was originally invented as a measure against email spams. Only later it was adapted to be used in digital cash. What proof-of-work mining actually does under the hood is that it converts kinetic energy, or electricity, into a ledger block. A mining machine repeatedly performs hash operations until it solves a cryptographic puzzle. All hash operations are thrown away except for the one hash that solves it. This one tiny hash, which itself takes very little energy to compute, is a direct representation of the huge ball of energy that was required to produce it. The proof that the block was minted. In order to rewrite the block, an attacker later will have to spend a roughly equivalent number of hash operations that was originally required. Let's say that again. Reverting takes an equivalent number of hash operations, not an equivalent amount of energy. That is because the hash is only a representation of the energy used, not the energy itself. Over time, this representation of energy becomes less and less accurate as improved hardware becomes more efficient. Energy itself doesn't change, but its old representations, quote, leak. Another way to visualize this process is to think of proof-of-work mining as attaching physical weights to virtual blocks. Over time, the older blocks get damaged and get lighter and lighter. This also reduces the total weight of the chain, all else being equal. Bitcoin combats this attrition process by constantly creating new blocks with fresh weights. This ensures that the tip of the chain is always heavy in the present, protecting the integrity of the entire chain. Heavy chain equals secure chain. Some have suggested that, quote, heaviest chain is actually a better terminology than Satoshi's longest chain. Longest chain can be very misleading when we don't really mean length in the literal sense. SHA-256 is the hash function that backs Bitcoin proof-of-work mining. SHA-256 protects the ledger from being rewritten. One hash in to mine, one hash out to revert. This is what gives Bitcoin its immutability property. It's amazing when you think about it. Hash operations dedicate their entire existence to the purpose of securing the ledger. Rarely anything in the real world has 100% dedication and efficiency. Contrast that with gasoline in the combustion engine. In reality, it is probably not 100%, but something close to it. Because irreversibility relies on the hash results being uniformly random, just like when you roll a fair dice, the algorithms can't truly simulate real-world randomness. Lucky for us, hash functions such as SHA-256 have shown to be sufficiently random, aka pseudo-random. SHA-256 has been reviewed and stress-tested for years and has a rich research literature behind it, so it's not something we have to be too concerned about. Yet. Fundamentally, I believe the idea of attaching energy to blocks is the right one and probably the only way to simulate immutability virtually. Using energy burnt to back a block allows us to view immutability objectively, whereas any non-energy-based method ultimately requires someone's subjective interpretation of immutability. By attaching energy to a block, we give it form, allowing it to have real weight and consequences in the physical world. We can also think of proof of work as the magic that brings a bunch of zeros and ones into life. In other words, proof of work is the bridge between the digital and the physical. Compare that to some CryptoKitties that someone creates, modifies, and removes as they see fit. Their uniqueness and existence are neither guaranteed nor reliable. Even if the current variant of proof of work fails, I'm confident that there will be other ways of attaching energy to a block. In conclusion, proof of work's application in blockchains might prove to be far more significant and wide-reaching than what it was originally invented for. Proof of work gives us immutability, which gives us uncensorable money, which could potentially change how society organizes itself. Read Nick Szabo's wonderful essay on social scalability for more on that. All right, and that will conclude the article. I told you the first part is pretty quick there, but just it goes back to, let me read you a section here. Using energy burnt to back a block allows us to view immutability objectively, whereas any non-energy-based method ultimately requires someone's subjective interpretation of immutability. And I love that quote, but specifically because, and I mentioned this back when we were reading Laurent MT's series, I think it was like part two that I went into it in the commentary. And I quoted this article. I said, proof of work is the bridge between the digital and the physical. And what's fascinating about that, particularly in combination with what Laurent MT did, is that because that immutability is objective, I think we have a really interesting way to measure it and to compare it to the amount of value being secured and the hashes in front of it. It gives us an objective measurement of this is the amount of computation needed to undo this historical transaction, and the entire network is still moving forward while that's happening. It's just such a powerful concept, and I love reading about it in every different way. It's just so cool to me that it truly is. It's a bridge between the digital and the physical. It's a digital thing backed by proof of something that happened in the physical world. And there is not anything else that digitally exists that can boast that degree of certainty, which in a way, you know, creates a sort of digital concrete, a building block of scarcity with which to build things and build valuable things, things that can have real world tangible scarcity and value in the digital world, mimicking the nature of the physical. So I want to get more into this topic. He mentioned there at the end to read Nick Szabo's piece on social scalability. I definitely recommend that one. That was one of the most fascinating ones of Szabo's works that I have read to date. I still find it one of the most interesting ones. If you would like to listen to it, you can read it on the Nakamoto Institute or the unenumerated blog.blogspot.com. That's Szabo's actual blog there. Or you can listen to it on this podcast. I read that one pretty early on. It was episode 66, Money, Blockchains, and Social Scalability. So you can listen to it or read it on any of those different platforms. I'm sure you could just type it into Google and there's 100 different places that you can find it. I will link to the episode, though, and his blog if you want to read it or listen to it. Definitely recommend that one. And tomorrow we will hit Hugo's second article in this series. Also a really good one. First one was really succinct, but he has a bit of a way with words. It's not dry. And I really liked his second one as well. And it's titled Bitcoin, Chance, and Randomness. And we will be digging into that one tomorrow. So don't forget to drop applause for the article. Again, that was The Anatomy of Proof of Work by Hugo Nguyen. And I'll link to his Twitter and Medium page so that you can check out all the other work and follow him on Twitter. Definitely do so. Really good one to follow for a lot of different topics and discussion. So definitely check him out. Thank you for these two articles and the permission to read them on the podcast. Really, really enjoyed them. Okay. Don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on all the things, Mastodon, Twitter, and Medium. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And if you would like to support the show, you can write a review. That's always a huge help. Love some feedback. I need to go back and actually go through some of my reviews. Actually, I haven't read any in a while. Or if you would like to leave feedback that is episode specific, check out the website on cryptoeconomy.life and drop a comment in just to let me know what you thought about the post or the read or the author, or if you want to recommend having somebody on the show. Any of those things are great. I'd love to have a discussion. Check it out at cryptoeconomy.life. The website is still beta. I am constantly working on it, and obviously in the last week, this will be released next Wednesday probably. So I haven't left the country yet, so I will have been out of town during all of this time, but I'm still trying to get episodes out to you guys. So it won't be until October 1st or 2nd that I will be back in the saddle working my butt off on all of this stuff. But so it's a beta progress right now. But check out cryptoeconomy.life, leave me some comments, kind of explore some of the older episodes and the other stuff I got going on up there. And lastly, if you would like to support the show with a donation or the website, any of the work that I'm doing on this, please feel free to donate. I will have my Bitcoin donation address available all the time. You can find, there's a QR code right on the website if you want to go there. And obviously I will have it in the Twitter page as well. And I will have my Trezor affiliate link. So if you're getting a hardware wallet, don't forget to use my link. Save it in your bookmarks. It'll send a couple of bucks my way and help out the show, and it won't cost you a dime. All right, guys. Thank you so much. We're getting to the end of the week here, and I got two episodes left to record. And like I said, I will be back on that Monday, October 1st or 2nd. It may or may not be Monday that I think I get in very, very late, so I may not have an episode that day. I'm going to shoot for one, though. I'm going to try. I'll probably be crazy jet lagged and exhausted, so if nothing, maybe I'll just randomly talk into the microphone all day or for 20 minutes and then pass out and release the episode and see what happens. Okay. Thanks for listening, guys. This has been the Crypto Economy Podcast. Subscribe, stick with me, and I will keep this coming. Thanks, everybody.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.